have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Greetings and blessings upon blessings. This is the Tea Time Show with T. Spence and my co-host, Kimmy Kim. on this Tuesday evening, 8 to 9 p.m. Central. So sit back and grab your favorite cup of tea and tune in. Call in if you'd like to participate, 646-564-9842 on the Elation Radio Show.
Hey there, Kimmy Kim. How you doing over there, Kimmy Kim?
I'm doing good. How about you, T?
I'm blessed. Thank you. I'm glad we're back on the station doing our thing together.
Yes, I missed it. And last week I missed it too. I miss talking with you about women and how we can become more help towards one another, empowering each other and helping each other to grow. And I just am thankful for being on your podcast. So I yield the mic.
I am thankful for you allowing me to be on your platform with my podcast. How is that?
Well, it takes you to make it work. So how about that?
Well, how about it takes two to make it work? How about that?
I like that. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
College
okay.
roommate.
Okay.
Oh, yes. You know,
yep,
you know,
right.
One of us got to get the last word. Well, so I guess you beat me this time. Oh,
we stood
God.
The test
That's
of time.
So
we stood the test of time.
It's been a minute. We've been on each other since 1994. That's crazy.
That's right. All the way back to the HBCU, Morris Brown.
And you know what? They're back open. Did you know that?
I did. I put a post up on it on my Facebook page that, and they're giving out scholarships.
I know.
So
isn't
that is
now,
a fun fact. Yes.
Do you know if they are fully accredited or do they just offer certain programs?
No, I think they're fully accredited. I think they're open. And actually on LinkedIn, I put a post up talking about me and you attending Mo Brown, being bubbly
Mo
brown,
brown
sugar.
You got to say Mo Brown when you went to Morris Brown. You can't say Morris Brown.
Yeah,
it's no such thing.
Yeah,
you got to
say
Mo Brown. We had so much fun. I mean,
yeah,
it,
I talked
that
to the president.
So
the president reached out. He reached out back and said, you know, that was awesome, that, you know, we had a wonderful time. And so they're open and they're doing their thing, and I'm so happy. I'm so happy about that.
So they are actually open to all programs or just specifics?
I think it's all programs because I saw them that they sent out a lot of stuff on LinkedIn about new professors that were on, they got hired on for a lot of different categories and how they were open. And I think they're fully open and on and rocking.
That's good. That's good to know because I know for sure I enjoy myself at Morris Brown, girl. How about you?
I don't think say Mo Brown enough, can we?
I think my favorite piece of Morris Brown is when we used to do, like, I don't know if you've been to the football games, but when they
yeah.
would do the football games. Oh, so you've been to the football games. Okay. Yeah, that
yeah,
was.
I've been to the, yeah,
and then halftime,
absolutely.
They have the halftime show. And so
yes.
that was like a bomb.
Yeah,
so
It takes me back. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Drumline.
I
think
just
that movie Drumline
that,
was dedicated to
us. I just drew a blank, and I was like, "What was it? What was that movie?" And then you just said it right there, Drumline.
Drumline. You know, yeah. They represented Morris
yep.
Brown to the fullest with the colors.
They did.
So
yes, absolutely.
How is my girl and how's Florida? How's the dogs doing?
Florida is good. It's absolutely sweltering here, but you know, I'd rather be hot than cold. So, you know, it's good. It's a beautiful ambiance outside. The pups are doing well.
I put them up so we wouldn't hear a bunch of tick-tacking on the floor as they walk around and their nails hitting the ground. So I put them up so that we could have some quiet time and do our show.
Oh.
We're going to be talking about what women must have for a man to put a ring on it tonight.
Mm.
What do you think of that?
Wow. I love that topic. I'm like, okay, I'm good with that one. So this is for you for bringing up that wonderful topic because, you know, when I put a ring on, I want it forever this time, not just for a few years. So, you know, it takes time.
Well, when I get a ring on it finally, I want it to be forever and the rest of my years. Because
yes.
This could be my first time ever being married, so, you know, or anything like that. So I am still waiting for that special one. I know that the Lord is looking down on me and my story is not being finished written yet. So, you know, all in due time, all in due time. Patience is a virtue.
Do we have any prospects? Hint, hint, hint. Let me stop.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we'll talk about that. But this show is about what a woman must have for that special man to want to put a ring on it. Just not forced to put a ring on it, not guilted to put a ring on it, but wants to genuinely be happy and put a ring on it and revels in the beauty of his woman.
Okay, I'm with that. I'm with that. I'm with that.
Okay, so I think that some of the things that, you know, men, you know, they want to feel that we can embrace their vulnerabilities, you know, that softer
mm-hmm.
side of them, and they can be with us open like that and embrace all that comes with them. Like, you know, we won't be look at them differently if they cry or if they're sensitive on different subjects and they're there for us. So they want us to embrace them all.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that.
Yeah. Yes, and of course they want a woman, I feel like, with intelligence and integrity that comes with that. You know, with it, they kind of want the complete package like we do, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, you know,
and I know,
yes.
I know that's definitely important. They want someone who could be a helpmeet and someone who's going to be there to support because the Bible says that, you know, the man is the provider. And so they want to come home to someone who is like, you know, worth coming home to. So like you said, if you are a person that loves to work, that's fine. But if you prefer to be at home and you want to be the household wife, you know, you have to make sure that you're creating a loving environment so that when your king comes home, he's coming home to some love, right?
Yeah, because they want to marry a woman who makes their relationship like her priority and wants her to be the primary support system that they can look to. They don't want to have to look outside of the relationship for the support that they need. They want it to be in home. So you're the one-stop shop. They don't have to go anywhere to look for being vulnerable and being supportive to his needs. And I
because
also think that, you know,
they deal enough. Yes. Come on.
Yeah. Well,
they deal
out there
enough.
In this
yes.
world, yeah, it's a lot going on. So you want to be that person that they can lean on, their shoulder to cry on, and you guys can become one. You know, you're still separate, but you become one to make your core situation stronger and that foundation what you want it to be and what you want it to last the test of time, I would think. Wouldn't you?
I agree. Because when they have someone that they can come home to, and of course you're going to have your ups and your downs. You're going to have your disagreements. But it's how you disagree. But they really want to come to that loving home, a person that got their back, where you know what he's thinking. You don't always have to ask, honey, what's the dinner? The dinner is provided for him. You just know him. I mean, of course, we're still going to get to know each other for a lifetime, but you know certain signs, like, you know, feel like talking, let me just give coffee, you know, stuff like that, because, man, they face a lot in this world, especially black men. And we need to make sure that they, you know, they have a loving home, not they come to a home where they're bickering and arguments for no reason. If he's been the provider and he is taking you and your needs, why not? And, of course, he must love you like Christ loved the church. He must love you. And when he loves you, he will know how to treat you according to the Bible. So I am in agreement with you on that. They do a lot, especially the ones that are really good men.
They work through a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot to go out into this world and battle the day's ins and outs and still, you know, they want to come home. You make their house a home. You know what I'm saying? You put your fine touches on it. They want to be able to come and kick their shoes off and relax and, you know, beat the world because the world is usually beating them down. You know, they must have to have trust in her with everything. And she isn't any good for you if she doesn't have the love for the Lord. And not only does the sister get dough, but she has love, and she has the love for the Lord inside her, outside of her, inside the home, outside of the home. You got to walk with it. You got to embrace it. I mean, they say that God, he has the ability to love his wife like God loves the church, just like you said. You know, he's there for her, you know, with everything that she's doing. And, you know, it would be so refreshing just to have, you know, I know that I've been single a while. So, you know, for me, it would be refreshing to have somebody to come home to take the load off, to be able to embrace and talk my feelings out with instead of being all up in my head all the time. And he can nourish me. He can, you know, he can be empathetic. He can be sympathetic. He can be compassionate and, you know, not look at you like you're just another headache. You know, and just try and embrace all that you encompass as being a woman, because we go through a lot, even if it's inside the home, outside the home, with children, without children, we're going through our own daily battles. So to have that special partner and for him to want to put a ring on it, there's got to be integrity there. You know, be the life and the life of our family is ultimately in your hands. And, you know, you have to trust. You have to trust one another with everything so that there's no gray lines, that it's black and white and there's not that gray area where you're trying to guess what's going on. Because the guessing game in a relationship, and especially in a marriage, is not a good place to be, because if you can't help one another with your thoughts and feelings, then you might as well just be single.
Exactly. And you mentioned something that was very important. He is protecting you mentally because, you know, we are the weaker vessel, according to the Bible, and they must take care of us and be kind to us and, you know, not treat us as if we are a servitude or slave or someone without any importance. So when you mention that, I really think that's important. The mental is so important, and it goes both ways. I have seen some videos out there how some of the women just, you know, how they talk to their men. And if I have to talk to my man like that or my husband like that, I don't want to be with you, you know? It's so drama.
Right. I agree. I mean, and you know what? At the end of the day, friendship is the key. You know, having a strong foundation of friendship makes the companionship all the worthwhile. You know, when he looks at you and feels you and can feel your vibe and that friendship is there, and that companionship is there, it remains there, and it's a solid foundation to build upon.
What are some good examples out there have you seen when it comes to a married couple?
I like the power couples. The power couples, especially in Hollywood, because it's such an unforgiving world out there. It's a whole different world than anything that we know or we live in. You know, because I've been out there and I've seen the struggles, and I've been in the struggles, and it's hard to, you know, sustain a solid foundation out there. I always used to say Hollywood was like over the hill and beyond was like, you know, the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, because there were so many temptations out there. There were so many things, you know, that people would turn their head and they could get blindsided by and they could get distracted from, that you really have to stay in the know with who you are and who you're with and know them for certain so that you can be that power couple. I mean, all over, just all over the world, not just in Hollywood. I just think that that is a very rough place to build a solid foundation because of all that it encompasses.
Yeah, you have a lot of temptations out there. I'm surprised that would become famous there and Atlanta.
Okay.
By word of God. That's the only way. I mean, it's so much temptations, and you have men and women who don't care that you are married. And so
Right. Now
they're questioning your integrity in your marriage. So if they're okay with the fact that you're married and they don't mind sleeping around, that's another thing. So much infidelity going on in marriages. And so I think that's another reason why people are afraid to really commit. And I know it's our time. It's going to happen. I cannot wait until I say, yay, Gina did it, and then I'm right after you. I just see it coming. I do.
You see it coming. Okay, well, I'm going to hold you to that.
I see him coming. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
so what are you doing to prepare yourself?
I think that I'm staying in, I've been celibate until I find the person that I want to be with. And I have, you know, I meditate and I pray, you know, I refine my prayer so that it's not like it's detailed in what I want in a man, what I want the Lord to bring to me, what I want him to guide in my circumference, you know, the type of person I want, the characteristics that I want. You know, it's not all about, you know, looks. It's all about, you know, honestly, at the end of the day, it's about communication. You should be able to talk about anything, like anything, absolutely, because if you can't talk about anything and that line of communication breaks down, then concerns happen. Most importantly, you know, I hate to say it, but finances is almost one of the biggest things that break up relationships. And I don't want that to happen to me. So I have structured my life to get myself ready to be able to have something to bring to the table as well, you know, as the person that I'm going to marry. And, you know, I just try and stay, you know, healthy, wealthy, and wise. And, you know, just am, you know, staying in the know of what he has in store for me. That's why I said he hasn't finished writing my story. So I'm still here for it. You know, it doesn't matter. My birthday's coming up in October. That could be a nice birthday present.
Absolutely. And we want to celebrate. I just see it coming. And I could be in Florida at any time. You know, if I take off, like, I'm going to see my senior. But I know that God is in our lives, and he knows our hearts, and he knows that it's very pure. And I so love the fact that you were open to share what you're preparing for, because we do hear so many sisters that says that they are looking for their, I'm not going to say Boaz, because now I'm learning the Boaz and Ruth story, so I don't want that. But you know, someone that God has sent to you in your life. And I learned now that the Boaz and Ruth story is about a land transaction. It has nothing to do with a love story. So I was like, whoa.
Totally different.
Yes,
so
I learned a breakdown of it.
Ruth. Yeah, we did a whole episode on Ruth, right?
And we thought it was a love, but it was more so of an arrangement. So it wasn't based on love. But
okay, well, talk to me a little bit about that. What were your findings? Because I know we did a whole hour segment on, you know, them intertwining, the love that they had
yeah.
for one another, the, you know, the clarity that they had for one another, what they gave up for one another, and it was all structured around love.
Well, it wasn't. It was I've been studying, and it's more so she was a Moabite, and Boaz was he was part of the 12 tribes of Israel. So normally you're not supposed to mingle outside of your race in the Bible. That's what it says. But because her husband had died, and she and her, it was about a land transaction where she could lose the land, but she needs to marry someone for her and her child. Back then, if you're a widow, and if you're not married, the land could be taken away from you because she inherited that land. And so, to make a long story short, it was more of a land, it was more of a property transaction. But that's how it was back in the days. Most of the marriages
back in the
early times, it wasn't based on love. It was based on arrangement.
Right.
And they last longer, if you know this.
They do. Okay, have you seen that show on TV? Have you seen that show on TV called Love at First Sight? It's a show where psychologists and psychiatrists take your whole background and they match you up with who they feel like you are compatible with all of your scores, your love languages and all that. And you go and you walk down the altar and you get married and you've never seen them before. And you get, you get married on the spot.
I don't know if I could do that
one. Spot. Yeah, you get married. But, you know, you have scientists. You have psychiatrists.
But I need someone like my family member to do that. Yeah.
Well, you should see on there because a lot of them say their family members are shocked. Some of them are pissed off. Some of them are like, how could you do that? But they do it on first sight. And then they go through the whole ceremony. And then they go on like a honeymoon and they got to do the honeymoon thing together and get to know one another, not knowing anything about each other. And they got to see if in like 90 days, are they going to stay married? Or are they going to get separated and divorced? So you have that option.
So have they had any successful marriages on there?
Yes, they did. They had a lot of people that stayed together because it's like you wander around the world trying to find your special someone, and sometimes you got to kiss a lot of frogs to get to your prince.
Mm-hmm.
But these are
mm-hmm.
people that you are telling your livelihood to and what you want in a person, what you need in a person, what you're asking for in a person. Just like you just said, what were my details and what did I want? You know, what am I doing to make myself ready? You know, that's what they're asking, to put those two people together that are compatible.
Gotcha.
They're compatible on paper. Yeah, they're compatible on paper. And, you know, but, you know, humans are sometimes very it's in what they see. They got to fall in love with what they see. They're not knowing what's behind what they see. So that's why some
exactly.
of the marriages didn't work out, because they expected
it's more
that person
on the
to be 6'5", you know, mustache, you know, all thick hair, big brawn, you know, that's what they were expecting to fall in love with. But that's not what they got, and that's not what they matched up with on paper.
Got you. So it's based on surface. A lot of them want it that way. They want that tall, dark, and handsome, and that.
Well, some wanted that, but
others didn't
want that. They wanted, you know, they wanted to know who their person was, because, you know, matchmakers really matched them up. So they were going to take what they were given and try and make it work and see if they could make it work. It's a really interesting show. I liked it.
So I need to check it out there. I heard of it, but I have not just sat down and watched a season. So I may take, I may just see what's out there. You know,
yeah,
I'm not going on the show or anything, but I just want to see
what
I want to see what the outcomes are, because that's interesting that they can just put you together based on your profile. But what if someone is lying? How do they know if someone is telling the truth?
Well, let's say that's what happened on the last season. This guy was lying about everything. He just couldn't tell the truth about anything. She wanted to know about his finances. That was a lie. She wanted to know about his background. That was a lie. She wanted to know about his family. That was a lie. And so towards the end, she was just like, she tried to give him chances and chances. She tried to talk to him. She communicated with him very well. She was very patient. So I thought I probably would have snapped by then. But she was there, and she was in it for the long haul. And then at the end, she was just like, he just lied about too many things. And I gave him a chance to come clean. I gave him, you know, I talked to him. I was open with him. I was honest with him. You know, we worked through the steps. We did everything. But I just can't heartfully go through with this marriage knowing that he can just lie like that, bold-facedly.
And he didn't have any sorrow regarding the lies that he told?
He did. He was. At the end of the show, he was upset because he wanted, you know, by the end of the show, he was ready to come clean. At the end of the show, he was ready to tell her everything. But by that time, she had shut down and it was too late. This is 30, 60, 90 days later when you're with somebody in and out all day, every day, and you're living with them as well after the honeymoon. So they had to, you know, they had to figure one another out. And he had just lied so much, you know, that she just was like, I'd rather, you know, stop this right here before I go in and I get too hurt, you know, and I will take my chances elsewhere. And you got to respect a person for that, because she tried.
You do.
You got to respect
them for
that. And you
know that it's just. It's even a challenge in that episode to find the right one.
Right. And they match you up. So it's, you know, nothing is ever, you know, it's not, you can't put
guaranteed
a stamp on it. You know, you gotta go through the trials and tribulations. You gotta go, like when they say, you know, till death do us part, and, you know, and with through health and, you know, and the mental and everything that people go through in marriages with children. You know, the man wants to know that you're going to be a good mother to his children. Being with her lets, you know, lets him know he wants to have kids and she would be a good mother, you know. So that is,
right,
that is something that, you know, they are also looking at you for, to want to put a ring on it, how you're going to take care of their, you know, your children and how you're going to be a mother to their child and what you bring to the table in that facet.
And another question, are a lot of them young, or they're middle age, or it just depends on
the person? It's all ages. No, it's all ages.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
they can
be a young couple, they can be a middle-aged couple, and they can be an older couple. They can be a couple from Australia.
Have you seen an older couple in there as well?
Yeah, I saw them trying to work with someone from Australia overseas that came, you know, to, you know, they do it in, like, Denver, or they do it in Canada, or they do it in, like, really hip cities. So, I mean, you got to check it out, Kimmy Cam.
I will.
Check it out.
I'll let you know when the next season is on,
or you can. I don't know if it's on YouTube or anything like that, but or Google it. Just Google it, Kimmy.
I prefer the fresh season. I don't want the old one. So.
Yeah, you're gonna start with the first season. Well, you know, you also gotta look at the fact that you want to make him genuinely happy. You know, you want your family and your friends to see that she has changed something in you, that he is happier. Not that he wasn't happier before, but there's something extraordinary about this relationship that is clearly noticeable to those who know him well. So that's a huge thing, that people can see a change in how you are as a person, what that person brings to the table.
Yeah, it's that joy that you get when you're around that person. That person makes you feel so different, unlike any other. And you don't want to shy away. And then, don't get me wrong, there'll be times when those feelings will go, but you have a sturdy foundation. You have the foundation of the Lord. You have the foundation of love and trust, you know, because we're called to make sure that we respect one another and we're submitting to the right people. And like you said, when he loved his wife, as Christ loved the church, it's so easy for a woman to submit to that person because he would
right.
do whatever it takes to make it right. He won't be in it
right.
for the short run. Because people don't,
right.
a lot of people don't like disagreements or confrontations, and you want to have that in any form of relationship. And you have
I
to be able to
I think it makes the relationship grow. Right, I think it makes it grow. If you, I don't want to say fight fair, but if you do, if you really fight fair, if you argue fairly, where you don't take low
yes.
blows and pot shots, and you know, and you don't make it so aggressive and stuff like that, but it's all about the communication. It's actions speak louder than words. You know, it's all about, you know, your love language. It's all about how you come across. Like, it doesn't have to be like, you know. I was with somebody that I stopped seeing because of the fact that their communication level wasn't to what I needed in my life. Because every time we would talk or we would see things in different ways, he saw it as a fight. And I saw it as, why can't we just talk about it? And why can't we just
exactly.
talk it through and see where we lie in that? And then he would be like, well, I'm not going to argue with you about this. And then he would just leave. And for me, that is a huge red flag because what I went through as a child and who I am as being, you know, adopted and a child of the system who bounced around in the state ward for a little while before I got adopted, I have abandonment issues. So for me to communicate with you, and then you get mad and don't want to talk back to me and lower my anxiety and just walk out, and I don't know when you're coming back. I don't know what just happened, and you just leave me in a state of disarray was not going to work for me. And, you know, I tried to express myself, and I tried to let him know that this is not a healthy way of communicating, but
it's not.
It just fell on deaf. Yeah, it just fell on deaf ears. And so that put an end to that relationship for me there at that point in time because I knew that he wasn't willing to grow with me.
Got you. Well, you have said so much, and I know for a fact that when you do have disagreements and you are able to reconcile, it builds a foundation. It tells you, okay, so this person, when I say this, she or he has this type of reaction. I may not want to go this route again, but it gives you a word of what to do and what not to do. If you don't have any, you know, fair fighting, how can it grow? I mean,
right.
I'm told that
because you can't get past the argument.
It gets better with time.
Yeah, right. It definitely does. I mean, you can't get past the angriness, you know, if you can't talk it out, then how are you going to, you know, fight fairly? You know, you can't be aggressive.
Absolutely.
You can't, the yelling and the screaming, where is that going to go? Because you don't hear one another. All you hear is the yelling and the screaming. And you can't talk over one another. You got to hear that person out.
That's
like,
the thing.
You hear what they really want to say and listen. Yeah, you got to listen. You got to be a good listener. Like we do on our podcast, we have to listen to who we're interviewing. We have to listen and let them tell their story and not interrupt them. Regardless of what's going on, they're on your show because they have a story to tell. So you have to listen to what they're saying and break accordingly so it doesn't break them in what they're trying to get out and share with the world.
That is so true. Because when you take over the conversation, that's another form of respect. you having issues with yourself. Because when you're
right.
talking to someone, it should be a listener and it should be a talker. You both can do the same things at the same time. And so I think communication is the number one factor after trust, communication. Everything else, I believe, will fall into their perspective places. Don't get me wrong. We do want to have a little eye candy, but he doesn't have to be like a Denzel or a Michael Jordan, you know. I'm looking more so for the substance within because the outer substance will eventually fade away. And so I really believe that the internal thing makes a more impact in my life than the outer. Because you can look good from the outside, but what do you have to offer when it comes to that inner beauty? Who are you as a person? And so that's why we are still waiting. Yeah. So it's all good. It's tough out there. And, you know,
well, look,
it's okay. It's okay.
I mean, I have a tattoo on the back of my neck that says beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So it's what you see is beautiful. What you might think is beautiful,
exactly.
I might not think is beautiful, Kimmy Kim. You know, what I think is
exactly.
beautiful, you might not be like, nah, that's not my type, blase, flee, flee. So, you know, I find different things to focus on with the person that I'm with. You know, I find it's not their outer shell. It's what, you know, it might be like the way they smile or the way, you know, or the way they, you know, just caress my hand or the certain love languages that you do. Like sharing a spiritual connection, it's hard to describe. But, you know, someone who is completely understands me, a connection is beyond words. Like I know how they're feeling when they're not around or it's a hug that I can feel when our souls are connecting, when I haven't been around them and I need that hug for reassurance. So sharing a spiritual connection is a must-have.
Yes. Have to. That's what's going to keep us together.
That's what's going to keep us together. I mean, and you got to have that passion. Of course, the passion, you want the passion, and you want the butterflies, and you want all that type of stuff. You know, and, you know, it's going to come. It's going to get there. Do you think that people can have love for one another, but then when they get together, they can fall in love when they're not initially in love?
Absolutely. It happened over and over time. Arranged marriages. They love each other, but they can't say they're in love with each other because they never really spent time together. So and they lasted longer. Absolutely, I believe so. Because sometimes when people think they're in love,
it's really
love.
Yeah,
I really believe when people say they're in love and they haven't really got to know that person, it's really love. It's not love.
Yeah, exactly. It takes time, and I think that it grows over time and it gets deeper over time. And especially
exactly.
with the more trials and tribulations that you go through and you get through and you're still with one another, that makes it flourish and grow and blossom. It's like a garden. You have to water it. You have to nurture it. You have to put your hands
yes.
in the dirt and turn it around and, you know, and spread the seeds and, you know, and talk to it and just be there for it. It's just like a garden because if it doesn't grow, it gets stuck and stagnated. And then you're not growing. And then the relationship isn't growing. And then the marriage isn't growing. And so what do you do when you're stuck and stagnated? You wander.
My feet. You have said something so powerful. And I can't wait to next week what we are doing. We have to do a part two on this one because I really believe it's important that we understand what we're looking for and we are equally yoked to the right person because I don't want to go through another divorce. So I'm sure you have had many offers as well as I, but you knew that it wasn't going to last because it wasn't
right.
built on the right foundation. And so it sounds
right,
like we
not
have done
settle.
That all.
Right.
We don't believe in settling, and we're not going to be with someone just to say we're with someone. Absolutely. So, listeners, it's not like we don't have the offers. It's just that we don't want to settle. That's the thing. You don't want to settle for a ring that would last for like 2 or 3 years and back out there in the market. I want to be with, and as well as P, want to be with that person that God has designed for us. And so we're taking our time. Yeah.
Yeah, I want a love story. I want to be able to tell, you know, I want to adopt. You know, when I find my future husband. So I want to be able to have a love story to tell my child. I want it to be something that, you know, I express out of love and that he brought to me. And I don't care if it's my latter years in life, but, you know, I've waited this long. Like we said, we're not going to settle. And who wants to settle at this point? You know, I can do bad by my damn self. You know, I don't need anybody
that
to help
movie,
me.
Yeah.
So, you know exactly. So
we don't want any Tyrone. We definitely don't want any Tyrone. We want some tea.
Right,
so with that being said, we got to call
exactly,
up. Cause my next podcast is at 9, but it went by so fast, and we got to do a part 2 on this because I really believe we need to dig what kind of substance do we look for a man instead of focusing on the woman? We're going to focus on the male. Yes.
I love this talk
because.
Switch it up.
Yes. And I just know that our time is almost at hand and God is going to bless you as well as I. And we're going to live happily ever after and be in love. Because I really believe that you can fall in love with someone after you get married. I have seen it time after time. Yep.
All
so
right,
do you have
Kimmy
any
Kim.
Remarks?
No, I'm just blessed to be in your presence and to get back to doing our show because we took a little pause for the calls for a second. So we're back and we're on and popping. And I look forward to next week's show when we will switch it around and talk about the women, talk about what we want, what we're looking for.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's all good to me. I really believe that's important to know what you want so that we can, you know, eliminate, no, this is not it, this is not it, and then we don't settle. If you don't know what you are looking for, how do you know it's for you? You have to have a plan. You have to have what you want and what you believe God will give you because what we want and what God desires, they are two different things. So he must be somebody from God for it to last forever because he did break the first marriage. And so with that being said, I'm going to put it in your hands because you are amazing. And I appreciate this time with you.
Well, thank you very much. I thank you, everybody who has tuned in for our show, and we appreciate you listening. And, you know, we're going to have guests later on this month, so we look forward to that. And stay tuned for the next week of Tea Tuesdays at this time.
She had a dream that she could do it, somehow she lost her way and didn't stick to it. She wanted the house, the cars, the money. She did all that she could. In her mind she was so focused, doing overtime in the diner. Just wanted someone to wine and dine her. She didn't believe in herself. Believe in yourself, even if nobody does. Believe in yourself, even if nobody does. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. cancer. Going to the doctor for some answers. They said she wouldn't make it, she couldn't take it. She did all that she could. Getting sick from the chemo. Bank account started looking real low. She knew she could make it, she wouldn't take it. She believed in herself.